Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Your host, James, behind the mic, joined by Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being with us, everybody. We're going to have some fun this hour. Not only are we going to get into some entertainment news a little bit later, but before that, we're going to have Beth hang out with us a little longer, and we're going to get into the top Disney soundtracks of all time. But yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. But speaking of Beth, it's a Monday, so you all know what that means. Tell me something.
Good morning and welcome to The Kitchen's Open on WFHR. Cooking in the kitchen can be a lot of fun with delicious results, but it can also create a slew of dishes.
Boy, don't I know it.
Let's keep our home life at home, okay, sweetie?
Quit fighting.
I do want to give a shout out to the man you just heard, my dishwasher, and to my machine, too. Anyway, if you're anything like me, you may be looking for meals that dirty as few dishes as possible. Thanks to foodnetwork.com, I found an article that might be able to help us out. It's called 93 One-Pot Meals You'll Keep Coming Back To.
Let me guess. There are a lot of varieties of chili.
That is one of the options in there. You know, and that can be a great one-pot wonder. The article used a variety of things that you can make, such as, things that are just one pot, others that have a few things like pasta, and there were different options for mac and cheese, so you can kind of dress that up a little bit. But there were soups and stews and other things as well. And I found a couple of favorites, and the first one is actually a meat dish.
Yeah.
You can make chili, or excuse me, chicken. You can do, well, you can make chili with chicken too, but you can make a creamy skillet chicken.
Okay.
So on top of the stove instead of baked. Mm-hmm. And it only takes 3 steps and just a few ingredients.
Ooh.
So what you're going to do is whisk together 1/4 cup all-purpose flour with a tablespoon of salt and a few grinds of pepper in a pie plate or a shallow dish. You're going to coat both sides of the 6 boneless, skinless chicken breasts in that flour. Shake off the excess, and then you just set it aside. Next, you're going to heat 3 tablespoons of oil in a large, heavy-bottomed skillet over medium-high heat. Add the chicken to the skillet and cook undisturbed until deeply golden, and that's going to take about 3 minutes. Turn the chicken and cook again, undisturbed, until the other side is deeply golden brown, another 3 minutes. Remove the chicken to a plate, and then add another tablespoon of oil to the skillet. Add about 8 ounces a container of sliced mushrooms and cook those. And you're going to start to sweat those out. You're going to stir them occasionally, and they're going to brown, and they're going to release their liquid. And that'll take about 5 minutes. And then add to that 2 cloves of garlic that you've minced and cook, stirring all of that until the garlic is fragrant. That's not going to take long. That's only going to take about 30 seconds. So once you've done all that, you add 4 ounces of cream cheese that you've cut into chunks, and you stir that in. So it gives you a nice mushroom cream sauce, and you do that until it's all melted. Then pour in 1 cup half and half. Again, you're trying to go for that sauce now. Use a wooden spoon to scrape any of the brown bits from the bottom of the skillet. That helps to add some flavor. Yep. Season it with some salt and pepper. Add the chicken back to the skillet, cook, and cover and cook. Turning about halfway through until an instant read thermometer inserted into the thickest part of the chicken reaches 165 degrees Fahrenheit, which will take about 15 to 20 minutes. We want to make sure you don't get salmonella. So
that's
make
right.
sure that you fully cook the chicken breasts. Transfer the chicken to a serving plate filled with warm egg noodles. Add 1 10-ounce package of baby spinach back into the skillet, about 8 cups worth, and then cover and cook until they're wilted. That'll take about 5 minutes. Stir to combine and season again with a little bit of salt and pepper, and then pour that creamy spinach sauce over the chicken and noodles and enjoy.
That sounds really good.
You know, I'm infamously picky and
right,
a picky eater and all that, so I don't mean to ruin my brand here or anything. But does this happen to you guys every once in a while? And maybe it's just as more and more as I get older. When I see the name of something or what have you, I'm like, I don't know if I'd like that. I hear the breakdown. I hear the recipe. Mm. I hear how it's prepared. I'm like, oh, I would try that.
Yeah.
There's plenty in there I would like.
I was thinking the same thing. It's interesting that going through the ingredient list and figuring out how to make something actually makes it more appetizing, is really interesting. I never even thought about that.
Well, just like you can't judge a book by its cover, you can't judge a meal by its name.
Right.
It turns out we do want to know how the sausage is made.
Exactly. Yeah,
revelations. Oh, my gosh.
Mind blown. Well, there was another one in here because, of course, casseroles can be one pot wonder.
Hot dishes.
Yeah. Casseroles. If you're using the right dish, it is still a casserole. Am I wrong?
I'm just going to take this grenade and drop it over there. Just sip it.
So there was one that uses a common college food. Ramen noodles.
All right.
Chicken ramen noodle casserole, but it's also called chicken ramen noodle dump dinner.
So appetizing.
Yeah, it really brings you to the kitchen.
Right, yeah. Yeah, doesn't it? But it's low maintenance and packed with flavor, and the creamy casserole transforms dorm-friendly ramen noodles into a satisfying casserole that can be fed to a crowd.
Okay.
So you want to preheat your oven to 400 degrees Fahrenheit. You could put 6 3-ounce packages of the chicken-flavored instant ramen noodles. Keep one of the 3 packets, discard the other flavor packets. You only need the one.
Okay.
And you layer those in a single layer covering the bottom of a 13-by-9-inch baking dish. Whisk together 1 8-ounce container of scallion cream cheese. So if you go to specialty stores or if you go into your grocery store, they have flavored cream cheese in there.
Ooh,
so
okay.
Grab the scallion cream cheese, 4 cups of whole milk, and the one reserved flavored packet from the ramen, and you whisk all that together in a medium bowl. Pour that mixture over the ramen, and then scatter 2 cups of shredded rotisserie chicken. You want to make sure that you take the skin and the bones out of there. You don't want to have those. But you shred that chicken and put that over the sauce and the noodles, and then scatter 1 10.8-ounce bag of frozen broccoli florets.
Oh.
On top of that, you're going to sprinkle all of that with 8 ounces of shredded cheddar cheese, making sure to distribute it evenly across the whole casserole. So it's a cheesy, broccoli, creamy.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
You're going to bake all of that until the noodles are cooked through and the cream sauce is bubbly and the cheese melts. That's going to take about 30 to 35 minutes.
Wow.
And you're done.
Man. All I can say is it's a good thing Melissa's not here today because I think she would go into lactose shock just by listening to these recipes here. Wow.
That was another one, though, that I'm like, there's some stuff.
I might actually eat my broccoli then, too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If there's cheese, that's how my mom first got me to eat broccoli, was putting cheese sauce over it. And you can remember, you can substitute things like that. You can use coconut milk instead of the whole milk. You can use goat cheese instead of the cheddar cheese. So there are options out there to make it more friendly to whatever type of diet restrictions that you might have.
Right.
And if you haven't had broccoli with a crunch to it or something, that's a difference.
Yeah.
That's different.
It really is. So there's another one pot wonder, and it's in the mac and cheese family. Mm. And this one is so super simple. I wish I would have known this recipe earlier. I tend to do my mom's, which takes 2 pots, but this is great. This one pot wonder has humble beginnings. It's just milk and macaroni. Mm. I never thought to boil my macaroni in the milk.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And that's
revelations.
Yeah. So you add the pasta. As the pasta cooks, the starch is then released. And that's what helps thicken the milk to make the perfect base for a sauce.
Oh, my gosh.
So it becomes the roux that you need to mix the fat into. It's amazing. So the cheeses and the seasonings are stirred in at the very end, and everything comes together magically. So here's how you do it. You're going to pour 4 cups of whole milk and 3/4 pound of elbow macaroni. That's about 3 cups in a medium saucepan. Bring the milk to a boil over medium heat and stir it frequently to keep the macaroni from clumping. Then cook, and then you let it cook, stirring frequently until that macaroni is tender and the milk is thickened to the consistency of heavy cream. So the starches are going to thicken the milk as you cook them as well.
Okay.
That's going to take about 4 to 5 minutes. Remove from the saucepan from the heat. Once it's removed from the heat, add 8 ounces of shredded mild cheddar cheese. That's about 3 cups. 3 ounces of shredded part skim mozzarella. That's about 1 cup. And 2 ounces of cream cheese cut into small pieces. You'll also want to add 2 tablespoons unsalted butter that has been cut into small pieces. 1 teaspoon of Dijon mustard.
All right.
A large pinch pinch of cayenne pepper. And if you're not into heat, you can easily not do that. Mm-hmm. A large pinch of freshly grated nutmeg, and 1.5 teaspoons of salt. And you stir all of that until smooth, thick, and creamy, and serve it hot. The dish will thicken as it cools, but you can thin it out a little bit with a little hot water if you need to.
Wow.
Nice. Now, this came out of the Food Network kitchens, and the cook does have a tip for you. Make sure to buy block cheese and shred it yourself, because the pre-shredded cheese that comes in bags is often tossed with starchy cellulose, and that's going to make the mac and cheese clumpy. It's going to give it a clumpy texture. So if you want that nice smooth texture, go for it. Add the little bit of extra time and that one extra little dish that you're going to have with the grater, but grade that cheese yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm digging
nothing.
It.
Nothing as satisfying as shredding cheese.
Yeah,
at least I think so. I think that's great. Boy, excuse me. This is we do a lot of recipes on this show, mm-hmm. but these ones I think are really cool, because even if someone's just listening, and I know you'll put these in the newsletter, yes. So people can read them. Mm-hmm. But things that are simple like this, even if you're listening, it's like, oh yeah, I could just do that right now, and it's easy to remember even if you just heard it over the air.
Right, mm-hmm. And if you want to rehear all of these, you can always go to our website listen to the podcast, because. Mm-hmm. We're there for life, right?
Yes.
So these recipes are just 3 of 93 that were in this article. Mm-hmm. And it didn't even include things like broccoli salad. When I make my broccoli salad mm-hmm. at home, I do it in one bowl.
You do. That is correct.
And it's easy. It tastes good. You mix the sauce in as you...
Right.
You do that first in the larger bowl, and then you add the broccoli and everything else and coat it that way. That mm-hmm. way you're not dirtying as many dishes, which my dishwasher to my left here really appreciates.
I appreciate that.
Yes.
I do.
Yes. I love when you bring these topics, Beth, to us that not only could apply to any family out there, big mm-hmm. or small, or college students who just say, I have only one clean bowl. That's all I have. I'll be okay.
I'll just
make one of these on my ride.
I already got some ramen here. I already
cleaned a spoon, a single spoon, and one bowl. I have that clean. I'm good.
And fun fact, when I was in college, I bought a recipe book for college students. So that had very simple recipes mm-hmm. in there. And one of the things that I've continued to make that always gets a huge review when I take it with me to the church is a peach cobbler. Because it's 3 ingredients. You pour 2 or 3 cans of sliced peaches into a 9x13. You pour over that a boxed yellow cake mix. Mm. And then you slice up 1 stick of butter and you dab that all over the top. And then you just put it in the oven to bake.
Good.
Yeah. You're done.
Good.
Fantastic.
I like that.
Yeah.
So again, another one pot wonder. I should have thrown my own in there.
There you go. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, these easy to make dishes are just a few of the meals that will become a highlight to your menu. And speaking of highlights, we'd love to highlight your business as a sponsor of this segment. Not only will you be mentioned during our show, your business will also be highlighted in our weekly newsletter, where you can find this article as well. There are also options to broadcast an interview or have us broadcast live from your business for this segment.
Mm-hmm. For more information about these opportunities, just give us a call at 715-424-1300 and speak with Pam. She'll put you in touch with our sales team to work out all the details.
That number again is 715-424-1300.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Yeah.
All right.
Another great episode. Yeah. Well done, Beth.
Hungry once again.
Very hungry. as you guys brought up the website, I did want to remind everybody that not only are all of our shows, archived there and our podcasts are there, there are links for that right on the WFHR website.
Right.
A little over to the right, just go down a little ways and you'll see them over there. If you have trouble seeing any of that, please let us know. But they are there for everybody.
And those are direct links. You don't have to try to navigate the Civic Media website. They just go right to the show.
Get right to it.
Yep.
Like, we're going to get right to a break, and we want you to join us again next Monday for another edition of The Kitchen's Open.
Tell me something good.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Beth and Seth and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic day out there. Let's go ahead and get into another fun set of topics. We are going to get into a big one right now, and we had to bring in extra help for this. A pro, really.
Yes, she knows her stuff.
Seth has one of the better ears for sound that I've ever been around, and I really appreciate that. You can hear that in everything mm-hmm. he produces. I know quite a bit about entertainment, TV and movies and everything like that. I feel like I do, at least, and I certainly have taken in enough content to at least say that
much. Right, right.
But not only is Beth a fan and a great singer herself and all that, but also worked at Disneyland for some listeners out there that don't know.
Walt Disney World down in Florida, yeah. I was down there for 2.5 years.
So we have a pro with us. Yes. So we can truly
get into
this
everything about Disney. No.
Not everything.
What we have here is the greatest Disney movie soundtracks of all time. And I want... nicely done. All right.
Get out of here.
We got to get 10 minutes out of this stretch. That was awesome. I do want audience participation on this one. You can call, text us through the Civic Media app. You can call up as well, 424-2600. Get a hold of us. We want your favorite. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be, it would even be on anybody else's list.
Yeah.
But your favorite maybe Disney song or soundtrack or what have you.
Right.
Before we dive into that, though, I did have one kind of interesting note. Disney originally passed on The Little Mermaid, which, of course, mm-hmm. has a pretty famous soundtrack.
Oh, right,
itself.
Yeah.
Under the Sea is probably the most famous song,
right,
that
yeah.
I would think.
Part of Your World, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There is a world where that we never get that.
Oh, my gosh.
They almost passed
on. We don't get to kiss
it.
The girl?
Yeah, none of it. None of some of the questionable stuff there. None of that. I don't know. It was her age, I thought, or something.
Yeah,
right. No, but they almost didn't, and for the most interesting reason, because they were all locked in, and they were worried that it was going to interfere with a big sequel they were preparing, Splash 2.
What?
And 2 is going to be spelled T-O-O. It was going to be Splash 2.
Oh, gosh.
No Tom Hanks, no Daryl Hannah, yep. None of that or anything. I don't even think Eugene Levy was going to be in it.
Well, whatever happened the right way.
Yeah. Of course, the script falls apart, never mm-hmm. happens. And so they go, we'll go ahead and we'll do this little project, The Little Mermaid, mm-hmm. anyway. It turns into a gigantic hit.
Well, right? Tim Rice just knows his stuff.
Yes.
That's good songs.
It's a wild thing to think of.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. So what is, you don't have to be a Disney adult to have a favorite Disney movie soundtrack, or even children, I think, is another mm-hmm. note here. You mm-hmm. know, I think that's usually you would think that, you got to have kids.
No. Yeah, right.
Over at ranker.com, people are voting on the greatest of all time, the greatest Disney soundtracks. And they do have these in order, so of course we'll start at number 10.
Okay. All right.
One that I that threw me, Tangled from 2010.
Yes, Mandy Moore did the voice. Right. Of Rapunzel.
Yeah, and Zachary Levi was, I forget his name.
Flynn.
Flynn, yes.
Flynn Rider,
yep.
I feel weird saying this new because it's 2010, but yeah. I do know that as somebody that doesn't have little kids, that was one of the ones that I heard about more mm-hmm. and I heard was liked well by...
It was another story of a princess kind of saving herself. Not mm-hmm. needing mm-hmm. the man to save her. She just longed to get out, and she just needed the means to do it, and she was able to manipulate him to be able to get out of her situation, which is great.
And it involved a frying pan, which
it
is
did.
Fine.
Yeah. That was her weapon of choice.
At number 9, another modern classic, although, again, that's weird to say because it came out in 2013, which seems like forever ago now, Frozen.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Let it go.
I'm a little shocked that's at number 9. I would have thought, especially some of these you hear, but I don't know what I'm talking about.
Think about the years and years and years of Disney soundtracks, going all the way back to Snow White.
Yeah.
She sang in that movie.
That's
so
right.
You've got decades.
Yeah, that's
decades,
a lot
70
of it.
Years.
And because it was so big in the moment, Frozen, I mean, and it was because it was like everywhere. But now I think at time it's kind of fallen in the background a little bit. It's still, I'm sure, a lot of people's favorite. But.
And you can't think of Olaf the Snowman without thinking of the song Summer.
Summer.
Poor Olaf.
At number 8, Mulan from 1998.
Yep. Oh, that's interesting.
Yep.
That's higher than Frozen. Wow.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah,
wow.
I thought that was weird, but I figured I didn't know what I was talking about.
And part of that may be that there was a pop hit that came out of that Christina Aguilera sang.
Oh,
right.
Oh, that would make sense. Yeah. Okay.
Who is this girl I see?
Yeah, I think that's really noteworthy going forward. I think mm-hmm. that's
right.
Something I wouldn't have thought of right away.
There's
but yes.
a lot of crossover songs from Disney movies into pop culture.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And ones that were for every like hit kind of hit, there were ones that were hits just because they were a song in the movie kind of thing.
Exactly.
I think at number seven, that might be the case with Hercules from 1997. Yes. I was my kids were a little older at that point, so I didn't even see that until being an adult and everything. And then I'm like, oh, I know that reference now. Emperor's New Groove is another one.
Yes.
I didn't see that with my kids. My kids didn't see that one. Mm-hmm. So I was older when I saw it. I'm like, oh, now I get that reference.
Yeah, right.
I know that song.
And that's one of the things I love about Disney animated films is even though they're geared towards children, they always put some adult references and humor in there so that the parents stay engaged.
They can enjoy too.
Well.
Yeah, yeah.
Going back to Looney Tunes and everything, when whoever was the one that originated and got the idea of, well, parents watch these too. And I'm going to include some adults' humor here and there. Just lightly sprinkled in there and everything.
Yep.
Whoever originated that
very smart.
Band, they're really incredible. It's really, we're all very, as all of us being parents, we're all very thankful for that. At number six, Moana from 2016.
Yes.
Lin-Manuel Miranda. He did the score for that one. And boy, you know, if he had just, you know, Hamilton and all that, the stuff he's done on Broadway, I know you're a remarkable songwriter, but the stuff he's done since then, including Moana Encanto, I mean, he's gotten hits from that one, you know. We don't know about Bruno. We don't talk about Bruno. So
but the question then becomes, is Hamilton considered a Disney film?
Oh.
Cuz they put it on Disney Plus.
No.
Yeah,
definitive no.
I would say no, but at the same time, like I'm not messing with Disney's lawyers. Like, look, whatever.
Wait, we're getting
say,
a call
Mr.
in
Mouse,
right now. Oh no!
Whatever you say, Mr. Mouse. Whatever you say. it's limited Disney Mickey.
That's your Mickey voice.
With that one in particular. So I don't care how corny this sounds. I think every single creed culture has beauty, has some interest to it, especially ones I don't know as much about. I can find myself going down a rabbit hole finding, but since I was a little kid, I have always just loved Samoan culture. Been around a little of it in my life, and there's something about it that just really is just beautiful to me, and I think it's really amazing. That movie really, I thought, did a great job of showing a lot of light to a lot of things that I don't think were common knowledge.
No,
and
not at all.
Through song and fun and everything, it's cool.
We even got Dwayne The Rock Johnson singing.
Yeah, I mean.
You're welcome.
At number five from 1999, Tarzan.
Yes.
Yes. Was that Phil Collins?
Phil Collins
did the score for that one.
Yep.
At number four, The Little Mermaid from 1989.
Yes.
Our first redhead princess.
Yes. Yeah. That was Howard Ashman and Tim Rice.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Howard Ashman, sadly, I mean, he did that. He did Beauty and the Beast, and I think his last one was. He did Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, and I think his last was Lion King before he passed away of AIDS. But yeah, he was an amazing composer, yeah.
And a little bit better than Splash 2.
It made probably a bigger audience too.
It definitely made a bigger splash. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll be here all week. Try the veal. Number three, Aladdin from 1992.
I mean, come on.
That's my number one. Obviously, it's my number one, and I'm obviously biased. But I do think that out of everything on this list, and we do have some other big contenders coming up. At number three, I think it's perfectly placed. As much as I love it, as much as I is.
Of course.
I look at this list and I'm like, yeah, okay, I get it.
Right.
Well, and the fact that Robin Williams ad-libbed the entire intro, the prologue to this, going into the song, was phenomenal.
Right. I mean, we didn't get to hear him sing.
Yeah.
Very much. Oh, Popeye, we got to sing a little bit. But he didn't. But other than that, in Aladdin, that's about all we got to hear.
Yeah.
I will say he does get to do a little bit of singing in Death to Smoochie, but it's with other actors. You don't really get to see it.
But it's not like a musical. Right.
Happy Feet, you get a. But again, your point is made.
It's
not
enough. We didn't get to hear enough of Robin singing.
And a credit to Disney releasing a lot of the outtakes and a lot of the background stuff that we wouldn't have had if they didn't allow it. So I'm very thankful for that. Let's take a quick call.
Oh, excellent.
All right.
Hey, good afternoon. You're good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. So this has been fun. I love, you know, just thinking about the Disney songs because, you know, I, of course, still have my favorites. I haven't heard you mention, you know, Aristocats.
Yes!
Great one.
Yes. If anyone wants to be a cat. And also Jungle Book. I don't know, maybe it's the jazz.
I'm with you, 100%.
I want to be like you.
The connective tissue of both of those, Phil Harris.
Yes.
Phil Harris, who played Baloo, and then the jazz cat in Arrested Cats. Phil Harris did the voice, who is one of my all-time favorites. Mm-hmm. I love Phil Harris.
Yeah. And of course, I'm hoping number one will be Mary Poppins.
But
We'll see.
That is a great contender.
That was one that was going through my mind earlier. Yeah.
Oh, great references. Next time we do this, we're bringing you in. Yeah, you got to call in too, okay? Great work. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Have a great morning.
Have a great day.
You too.
You too.
Best listeners in radio.
Wow, that's great.
Best listeners in radio. Mm-hmm. Those were good. And I have to tell you guys, not on the list, any of those ones she mentioned.
No. Oh, really?
But they all should be.
Yeah. What's your list? Everyone make their own list. Yeah. Right.
And she was like running those off. And I'm like, Oh, yeah. And I hadn't thought of some of those.
Yep.
At number two, Beauty and the Beast from 1991.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
One of the more famous soundtracks of all time.
Angela Lansbury. She was always such an underrated. We did not rate Angela Lansbury enough when she was alive, because she was so good.
When you said that about not getting to hear Robin sing, I immediately thought of Angela Lansbury because I had the list in front of me.
Right.
Yeah, right.
I thought of the same thing. Like, well, mm-hmm. We never heard him. It's not like she belted out show tunes during Murder, She Wrote.
If you want to hear her sing more,
that would have been great.
Yes. Go see a classic Disney film, Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Yes.
She does phenomenal in that. And that was on my top three. That was up there.
Oh, right on. And at number one, of course, The Lion King from 1994.
You got to give, again, Tim Rice with the lyrics, but Elton John with the music on that one.
Yep.
Oh. I don't care. You can see any iteration of that film. I honestly, if we were going to do a serious Disney poll, what's the greatest film that Disney ever produced? Lion King, I think, would have to top the list for me, because any way they do it, it's a hit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did it's a huge hit on Broadway.
Right.
They did the live action, and that's like the only one that was a huge hit, right? Mm-hmm. That's something special.
And
Lion King is something special.
What I give Disney credit for is they're able to adapt and add to it. So it's not only great as an animated movie, they add more songs and make it an even better Broadway.
Right.
I won't say even better when it comes to the Newsies, which would be my number one.
I was going
to
ask, what is your top? If you want,
that is my number one. Okay. And if you've never seen it, you get to hear Christian Bale sing.
Yeah.
Which is something that I would like to hear.
It is something.
Hey, I became obsessed with that movie when it came out. I was a senior in high school. My parents, bless their hearts, tried to find the soundtrack, and it at one point it was worth $100 to go buy the movie or the soundtrack. And
because it wasn't a hit, though, that's what people forget. It wasn't a hit.
And it's become a sleeper hit to the point where they have now remade it into a Broadway show. Yep. But they've changed some of the plot. They've changed some of the songs, and I'm one of those. It had me at the movie. If they could have just done an adaptation of exactly what the movie was on the stage, I would have been a happy girl. But I still like the Broadway show.
Easy for me, Robin Hood.
Oh gosh,
My favorite growing up, and all the songs. I still love all the songs from that one. So.
It's one of my
Phony King of England. I love that song.
I'm such a sucker for stories involving the Round Table, King Arthur, and all that. And that one as a kid was one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. I don't really think of the music with that one. It's so much of
the
characters.
Yeah.
And one of the other things that I think that whether it was Disney, their animators, whoever, that were really good at, how do I match this character with an animal?
Correct.
And the right ones and everything. Mm-hmm. And they always get it right.
Mm-hmm. They do. They always seem to get it right.
Like everyone. That doesn't seem easy to me.
I also want to give a shout out to Peach Dragon. There were some great songs that came out of that movie too.
Well, it's a great list. It's a fun list, but you're all wrong. It's A Nightmare Before Christmas. What are we doing? What are we doing? No,
that's what's great about this. All the discussions that it starts.
Exactly. Yeah. There, most Disney, and I'll say it that way, most Disney movies have at least one song that's going to catch you.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Yeah. We love to hear from you, everybody. We'll keep this thing conversation going. You go ahead and let us know what yours were. And thank you very much for calling in. Mm-hmm. We appreciate all your feedback, everyone. And Beth, thank you for sticking around
a
little longer.
It was a lot of
fun. We'll be back after our news, sports, and entertainment break on The Morning Show with WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning Show at WFHR. Seth and James here with you. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to dive into some entertainment news, but a big shout out to our listeners and to Beth. Yeah. That was a real fun first half hour.
That was a great segment.
First half hour of the hour. I want to talk a little entertainment with you, Seth, and okay. Especially with the big box office weekend we just done with. And when you stretch out a little bit more wider angle, the wrapping up of the summer blockbuster year.
And
I only mean by releases.
Yeah.
There's to be some other good movies coming out.
Oh, I'm sure.
But the big dogs, the big ones have all come out now.
Yep.
And the dust is beginning to settle a little bit more. We can see how these rank, how they did, mm-hmm. And how many people came to the movies this summer.
Right.
Which a lot of them did.
Right. You know? This has always been the high season, so yeah.
A pretty successful summer for the movie going public for not just, certainly the entertainment industry. I care a little about that, but I don't. Sure. I also don't. Yes. I don't care about their bottom lines that much, other than that means that actors getting more work. And not just actors, but creatives getting more work.
Exactly.
That part I do care about. What I care about more is we came to these movies because they were good.
Yes.
And so we had some entertainment, along with air conditioning.
Always a plus.
Both are those. I would love to know the percentage of people that see movies because of the air conditioning.
Just because it's inside, right? Yeah.
Marvel, we get most, I pulled from a couple of different websites and articles, but mainly Deadline for this one. Marvel's Disney's The Fantastic Four First Steps has come in with an estimated $218 million globally, which is a little bit lower than where they saw it. They first expected it. It actually remains above weekend projections. So
okay.
It did better than projected.
Okay.
There both you go. Worldwide and in terms of international box office.
Okay.
The latter landed 100 mil at the end of their pre-opening projection.
Okay.
So not by that much, but by better.
Yeah.
The overseas debut is 13% ahead of Thunderbolts and 11% of Superman.
Okay. Wow.
And 4% above Captain America Brave New World.
Okay.
So it did well, especially, in most countries, every country, really.
Wow. I'm surprised that I'm really surprised that's doing a little bit better than Superman internationally, because I thought Superman was more of a known quantity as like an international thing. Everyone knows who Superman is, right? Kind of thing.
Right.
But that's really interesting to me. Wow.
Now, in the States, Superman did better by like a couple mil,
$4 to $10 million,
yeah. Somewhere in there. So it was incredibly close. But what's really important for, I think, again, if you like going to the movies, mm-hmm. You like these kind of movies, is that, okay, we got a better idea how to do this. Mm-hmm. It turns out people don't want to have the market oversaturated with anything, even something they really like.
Exactly. Yep.
I love chocolate, but I remember telling Linda when she was making a birthday cake for me during the plays I was in. I want chocolate frosting, triple chocolate. It was too much chocolate. They oversaturated the market with superhero movies, TV shows, and all that, and they're learning now the balance of it. And it's incredibly important for DC and Marvel, as one, Marvel is coming out of not only it's not so much failures. They could survive a failure. What you can't survive is being canceled and having a canceled guy in your workings.
Right, yeah.
Like they mm-hmm. were with Jonathan Majors and yep. the Kang thing and stuff, and where do you go from there? They have their next branch. Yep. It's good. It's yep. good to go now. Yep. They've got the Doomsday coming up and then Secret Wars, and that'll wrap everything up.
For this, yep.
One of the interesting
things, bring on the mutants.
For Superman, it's the birth of DC and starting over.
Yeah.
And not just starting over, but not starting over again and again and again.
Yeah.
Like, look, we got a timeline now. We got something we're working with here. And that worked out for them.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen both of these, and I'll say that the thing that I thought that was impressive about both of them is they didn't try too hard.
Okay.
And they didn't treat the audience like they were dumb.
That's good.
They didn't feel like they had to explain to you, so Superman's origin story. So the Fantastic Four's origin, like, if you don't know any of that, you can still get into it and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
They do a good job of telling it. It's one of the more difficult things of when you're going to introduce a superhero. Most of these people, we already know their origin stories, even if you don't give 2 seconds a care about any of this.
Right.
Whether you like it or not, it's been, you know, given to you in pop culture.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You don't have to do it again.
How do I do it differently? And and both of these directors, both of these writers really did a great job of that, I thought.
That's excellent.
And with the big difference to me of with the Superman one, it's a billion, not cameos from like big names necessarily, cameos from characters.
Yeah.
It is not just a Superman movie. It is a movie with the Green Lantern.
It's
and
a DC
Hawk
movie.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It is a cast of characters of that one. Whereas with the Fantastic Four, which is focused on four main characters, it's really got a really small list of people that you're focused on and trying to learn about or anything like that.
Which makes sense, yeah.
And I find both impressive the way they did it with both. Mm-hmm. How you introduce all these characters in Superman and make it work as much as how you lean on all these characters in that.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them did very well. I was impressed with both of them. I want to say, I don't want to spoil anything for anybody because I hate that. Just one note on the, two notes on the Fantastic Four. Four notes on the Fantastic Four.
No.
One, they finally got it right. In my book, they finally got it right.
Thank you.
I want to apologize publicly to Vanessa Kirby because I have never given her enough credit. Mm. I thought I understood her as an actor. I've seen her in Mission Impossible and John Wick movies, and she is edgy and dark and so good at all these things. That is not Sue Storm.
No.
And I did not know how that was going to work. I love being wrong. I love it when I'm wrong. I love it in general because it means I'm going to learn something. I'm not joking here. There's no joke there. I genuinely love being wrong in that regard. But there are a few times that I love being wrong more than with an actor. And she, you guys can go ahead and laugh at me all you want for this. I would not be surprised if she gets nominated for something.
Ooh.
Her performance was that good.
Wow.
And I didn't know she had that in her.
That's really cool.
I love it when that happens.
That's very exciting.
I know Pedro Pascal can act.
Oh, yes.
I know that Joe Perry is a good actor. I know that, you know, the Grossman, the guy from The Bear and stuff, how good he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, credit to all of them. They all were great. Man, I did not know Vanessa Kirby had that in her.
That's so great.
She was good.
Fantastic.
nicely done. And so if you see it, I want to know what you guys think. Let us know.
Yeah.
And any of these movies, and we'd love to hear your views without spoilers.
Very important.
One other quick note in entertainment news I wanted to touch on. George Lucas made his big Comic-Con debut yesterday in San Diego.
Really?
Which is kind of, as long as it's been going on, he's never been there.
He's never been there?
I didn't know that.
Wow.
And he revealed that he is opening a museum. The Lucas Museum of Narrative Art will open in Los Angeles sometime next year. It'll house everything from movie props to artwork from Frida Kahlo, Norman Rockwell, plus comic art from the Peanuts creator Charles M. Schulz, comic book creator Jack Kirby.
Wow.
Lucas has been collecting art of all kinds for over 50 years, and he wants to share it.
Wow.
Guillermo del Toro, who may house some of his own collections there, was also part of the panel, and he touted the importance of comic book art.
Mm-hmm.
Comics, quote, comics were the first ones to punch Nazis.
A very specific cover of the first Captain America comic, as a matter of fact.
That's a great line, though.
Yes,
I didn't know Benicio had that in him. I know that's a great line.
That's so cool.
It's a really cool thing to see George Lucas doing this and to see more and more of the things that he does.
Yeah.
You know, where he's got.
Seriously, what else do you do with art?
Mm-hmm.
You share it. You need to share it with people. I've never understood people who buy paintings and then keep them boxed up somewhere.
Yeah.
Which is just ridiculous. Why would you do that?
Also, it's nice to see him happy again, because I feel like the last time I saw George Lucas was when he was signing over Star Wars to Disney. And I'm not kidding, everybody. Look at when he's doing this. Look at his face. He looks heartbroken. like nobody's making you do this, George. But he looks like crestfallen there.
Yes, but
it's good to see him happy.
I'm very happy for him, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm glad he's doing it. It's very cool.
And one quick shameless plug, everybody.
Do it.
Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's main stage production is kicking off. And of course, we're going to be focused on kids. They got a show coming up in August. We'll be talking about and everything. But just wanted to mention, if anybody is curious about getting onto the main stage, whether you've been there before or you've always wanted to check it out, we have a great set of plays this year on the main stage, all four, with all kinds of actors needed from every age, every type. Yeah,
all it's a, the we run the gamut.
And we kick things off the with the fall show on Golden Pond, directed by written by Ernest Thompson, directed by Jami Mu. I don't know how to pronounce that. It's a heartfelt drama.
It's Jamie Meloff.
We're going to need three men, two women, and a early teen boy. Mm-hmm. You know, although the, I have some wiggle room with that that I can make.
You can fudge it a little bit.
Auditions are August 4th and 5th from 6 to 8 over at the beautiful WRCT Auditorium.
What? They are? Oh, my gosh.
They are right around the corner, and that was a little bit of shocking to me. I admit, Seth, a little, we were talking about it this morning.
This morning, yeah.
I thought it was the second week of August. I thought it was August 14th and 15th. I had a little off, but I'm very excited about that.
That's very cool.
And you can even get a little early on this. You can fill out an audition sheet if you'd like at wrctheater.org.
Yeah, we had lots of people submit them already.
Yeah, I think. Big thank you to everybody who has already submitted. I really appreciate that. And have some fun with that.
Mm-hmm.
Wrctheater.org. Again, go over there, fill out an audition sheet, or make plans to come audition, and we'll join us on stage.
Yes. It'll
be a lot of fun.
Very cool.
We'll take a time out. We'll come back with more fun. Morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show at WFHR.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now, right away. I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm sorry now I ever went away. Every night and day.
We hope you've enjoyed the show. We sure have enjoyed hanging out with all of you. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Got some good stories of the day and some good events going on in our area I want to touch on.
Yes.
Real quick, looking at the schedule. Join us for a great edition of the Rapids Report today. We'll have that streaming for you this afternoon. Be sure to head on over to WFHR.com. We got links right over to the side. You can see, find all of our shows, all of our
very
podcasts.
Easily, yep.
Head on over there to do that. And today, we got some great guests. Laura brought this up this morning. We got some fun people to talk to. BMX Badger State Nationals. We're going to have Kelsey joining us to talk about that.
Ooh, nice.
I love talking biking. It's going to be fun.
That's very cool.
We're talking bikes. We're talking competition. It's going to be fun. Join us for that one. And we will also be talking with Miss Czechoslovakia, Wisconsin. Maya Hernandez is going to join us.
Yes, that's so cool.
Maya's been with us before.
Yes, and that's so amazing that she won that, too. That's really that's going to be great to talk to her.
Congratulations to her. And I also think if you don't know much about that competition, it'll be great. Listen for that as well. We're looking forward to it. A big thank you to our guests and a great week of guests, everybody. Be on the lookout for that. We're going to have some fun with it. And then, of course, sports. We've got sports for you today. Be sure to join us for Playmakers, where we will speak sport. We will be doing that from 4 to 5 on 105.5 WIRI. Be sure to join us for that. I think I'm solo today, although I'll try to see if Michael wants to join us. But I won't be alone the whole hour. And at 4:30, we're going to be talking with our friends from Mid-State Derby.
Yeah.
Our local-ish roller derby team. Talking about that.
Spoken with them before. It's always a fun conversation.
Yeah. And us able to do more and more of what we want to do here when it comes to sports. Obviously, covering the four major sports and here at WFHR, the home of Wisconsin Badger sports and Rafter baseball. But 105.5, the home of local high school sports, River Kings hockey, and anything else we can cover.
Yes, like, let us know.
Just ask Michael.
Yes.
Like, if it's going on, he wants to cover it. He wants to get a hold of it.
I mean, we're talking, and I think of all the groups that we've talked to, of course, the swim team in town here, the Red Hawks, the other baseball team that we got, the amateur baseball team, and other things. I mean, what other platform are you going to get to be able to talk your stuff here?
And we'll talk about it all, and we want to talk with you on Playmakers. We Speak Sport. Join us from 4 to 5 on 105.5 this Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Big thank you to Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods sponsoring that hour. Appreciate y'all.
Yep.
Also wanted to mention, Seth, that no Rafter baseball tonight, by the way.
We have a day off?
Yes, they get
a day off.
Gosh. But keep in mind, everybody, we're going to have an episode of Meet Your Rafters coming up here this week. And we will not only talk with some of the players and stuff, but I do want to just get everybody to understand how much we appreciate the Rafters, how much fun it is to have this team in our town.
It is.
I don't begrudge anybody their feelings or thoughts, but I just ask you to have some also understanding of it'd be a lot different without them.
Yes.
And there is a wonderful thing that they can bring that they bring to our community with that has nothing to do with wins and losses.
Yeah.
Whether we're talking about the players and the vibe they bring or the economic impact that they bring.
Yeah, keep that in mind, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have to say, you know, it's amazing. After a Woodchucks, a Rafters game, the Woodchucks, I was over at the Quick Trip there by Witterfield, and the bus stopped in, and all these players came in. Just, I mean, that one thing alone, right, is that they're buying a whole bunch of stuff for the ride home. So, I mean, If nothing else.
It's a great example.
Yeah.
We got to talk with about this last week on Rapids Report. The Summer Food Service Program is up and going. Free meals will be available to all children 18 years of age and under. Keep this in mind and spread the word about this one, everybody. This is going on over at Lincoln High School at 1801 16th Street South. This will be taking place until August 15th. Breakfast is served 7:30 to 8:30. Lunch 11 to 12:30. And then at Meade Park near the Splash Pad, it'll be going from 11 to 12:30 over there. Breakfast for the next day will be provided.
Nice.
At Witter Park, the shelter right outside of the Aquatic Center.
Mm-hmm.
That is done from 11 to 12:30. Keep that in mind. Meals are provided to all children regardless of any race, creed, color, any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And there will be no discrimination during meal services. If you have questions, reach out to them. School Nutrition at WRPS.net. Mm-hmm. School Nutrition, WRPS.net.
Yes, exactly.
Seth, you guys are going to be busy this weekend. You got a rummage and barat sale going on. The greatest idea of Wisconsin event there is.
Yes. I mean, can you get more Wisconsin than that?
No.
We got the
over cheese
the Moravian Church. We got brat fry. You heard it a little bit earlier today during Pat Greitlow's show, as a matter of fact. From 9 to 2, I believe we're going to be selling food. And then from 9 to 1, there's also going to be a rummage sale at the church. I know it's a busy weekend coming up. We got a lot of stuff. We got the Rapids Rumble going on and everything. But if you're in the area, head on down there. We'd love to see you. And get some food, check out what we got for sale, and hope to see you there.
Our friends at the Chamber have another one of their networking at night events happening tonight. This is going to be fun. Network with the current young professionals at the Heart of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. They'll do this from 5 to 7 tonight. Be sure to head on over there and check this out. It's going to be a fun one. I encourage you to go to their website, WisconsinRapidsChamber.com. Head on over there. Check mm-hmm. that out. Find out
a lot more. Of great information there.
Lucky's on 2nd is going to be where they're going to be hosting this.
Yeah, okay.
So be sure to head on over there for it mm-hmm. and enjoy. And shout out to our friends on Lucky's on 2nd. We don't get to mention them nearly enough.
Yeah.
Shout out to them and have fun tonight, 5 to 7 with our chamber. Enjoy networking at night.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing we wanted to make sure to touch on.
Seth. Yes, blood drive tonight, everyone, from 2 to 7 o'clock over at the former East Junior High School in the cafeteria. That's at 311 Lincoln Street. Again, we do these a couple every month for the Community Blood Center. And, of course, they always are encouraging people to make appointments to make sure they can do it. You can go to their website, communityblood.org. It's actually super easy. I've checked it out myself. You can also call 800-280-4102. That's 800-280-4102. And they are going to, if you don't make an appointment, of course, they will try to fit you in if you're a walk-in. So you can try that as well. But that's today from 2 to 7 over at the former East Junior High School. And then tomorrow, everyone, we've got only a couple left here.
Yeah.
The City Band, which has been performing for over 160 years. Fantastic. They got their next concert tomorrow night at Robinson Park. 7:30 is when it all starts. So head on down there. They've only got two left. So if you haven't had a chance to do it yet this summer, now it is the time, everyone, because mm-hmm. they're a fantastic musician. I got to hear them for the 4th of July. Mm. Oh my God, they are so amazing. I mean, the talent we have in this community is like, it's nothing. It's like nothing, man. It's great.
You get a chance after the show to thank them and tell them how much you appreciate mm-hmm. it, too. It's always a nice idea. That does a lot for them over
mm-hmm.
there. A woman named Brooke Johnson has spent about 100 days on her skateboard as she travels across America.
Wow.
She's going from California to Virginia. And she is doing this to raise awareness for spinal cord injuries in memory of her stepfather.
Okay. Very cool.
Coming into the weekend, she was in Kentucky and Tennessee. Overall, she says the trip will be 3,226 miles. If she succeeds, she will set a new world record. I apologize. When she succeeds.
She's almost there. Yeah, that's
great.
This,
Brooke. You got this.
You got it.
You got it. I'm going to be following that
story. Skateboarding across that is so cool. Nice.
That's a really, really cool story.
That's a great story.
And a tortoise named Shelley, who escaped from her family's home in England, was found more than 2 weeks later, 3 miles away, outside an ice cream parlor.
It took her that long to get 3 miles.
The tortoise's owner says Shelley ruined her diet while on the run.
No!
Possibly due to the ice cream.
Yeah,
that's a great story.
Oh, bummer.
Have a good day, everybody. Be good to each other.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.